And it will be the largest famine the world has seen for many decades, with many millions of victims. That was the warning given to the UN Security Council about what is now happening in Yemen. One reason for it is the blockade of Yemen's borders imposed by Saudi Arabia and its allies in response to attacks on Saudi territory by rebels fighting for control of Yemen. Our man Clive Myrie has been in the country and he reports now from the government-controlled part of the city of Taiz on the front line of the war.
We've come up to the top of a building that overlooks the whole of the city of Taiz. It's a beautiful evening, but the closer you look at the buildings, the more horrible it is. So many of them are pockmarked with bullet holes and mortar rounds. This is a city sitting right on the main road between the north and south of Yemen. It's strategically very, very important, and that's why it's been the scene of so much fighting. We've just arrived with a heavily armed convoy of military police to one of the frontline areas around Taiz, and we can hear an exchange of gunfire. We've been told by the military here to just stay behind this brick building. Off in the distance we can see bullet strikes going into the mountain there, the puffs of smoke rising up from the exchange of gunfire.
The local commander of pro-government forces took me to the top of a derelict building. From behind a pile of sandbags, he pointed out across the valley to where the Houthi rebels were dug in. He told me that winning Taiz would help liberate the whole of Yemen. He says the nature of the battle has changed. Taiz has a lot of its sons willing to fight, but that more heavy artillery is now needed in this mountainous terrain. A little later, as we spoke to people in the downtown area of the city, we were told to watch our backs.
The danger in this area is that there is a sniper, so nobody can pass unless they make a run for it. Look at the streets. They are totally empty. No pedestrians, no nothing. Look at what happened to this building. All these buildings around here are damaged. All this is destroyed. There is no water, no food supplies. These people are besieging us.
Throughout the night, the fighting intensified. We were woken at 3 a.m. by the sound of explosions, rocket and mortar fire not too far away. It lasted several hours. It's been 2 years now since the Saudi-led coalition got involved in the war, and air power, with regular bombing raids, hasn't won the day. The Saudis have ended up getting bogged down. In fact, neither side is making any significant territorial gains.
Yeah, we're just going into the hospital now. We're being escorted by pro-government troops. And as you enter, the smell of chlorine really hits you, and lots of people milling around one of the waiting rooms here. And we're expecting to see some of the injured from last night's attack. Pro-government troops everywhere. In front of us, three surgeons are working hard to try and save the lower limbs of one of the fighters, pro-government fighters. He's got severe injuries to both his legs, and the doctors are doing what they can to save his life.
I'm Dr. Ghazi Al-Araki. To stop the war is very important for the people. We are doctors. We must resolve the problem of the patients. But the politicians must resolve the problem. Everyone have a guns and they are killing each other. Enough. We are tired. Every people tired in this country. They must stop this war.
We headed for the former British colony of Aden, under government and coalition control, on Yemen's southern coast. The fighting stopped here 2 years ago, but at the city's port, because of Saudi Arabia's blockade, activity can grind to a halt at a moment's notice. Riyadh says it's trying to stop the flow of weapons to rebel fighters. Others argue it's civilians who are being targeted because most of Yemen's food is imported. On a hill high above the port, we met two young men from either side of the conflict.
I'm Hamid Thabit. I'm 23 years old.
And where are you from?
I'm from Sana'a.
You're from the north?
Yeah. In Sana'a, we are facing the bombing in the airstrikes, and we're seeing the missiles, you know, dropping to the city, and it's really scary. If you see an action movie about explosions, wow.
That's what it's like.
Yeah, when we face it in real life, it's like, okay, oh my gosh, this is real, it's happening in our life.
So you're his friend. Yeah. You're from here in Aden, you're from the south.
Yes. In Aden, we don't have electric. It's cutting all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the water can't come to home for 2 weeks, 1 week. It's like that.
But you two, you represent north and south.
Yeah.
You two can get together.
Yeah, of course.
The whole nation has to get together.
Exactly, we are friends. We're all Yemenis.
Do you think those countries outside that are involved in what's going on here,
yeah,
do you think they should stay away?
They have to stay away and stop. Yeah, they have to. They're not helping us. They're destroying us.
I'm scared about the future. We don't have any light. It's all about darkness. There is no any humanity.
The sun's beginning to set over the Mala Cemetery here in Aden, home to some of the British war dead from the colonial past of this country. In recent times, actually, some of the gravestones in front of me have been destroyed by Islamists. But being here is a reminder that Yemen has known war and occupation, revolution and liberation. It's a land constantly fought over by bigger powers. One wonders whether this country will ever get the chance to determine its own future for the benefit of all Yemenis.
Clive Myrie reporting.